on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. From an ice storm in North Dakota to blizzard conditions in Colorado, causing hundreds of airport delays and cancellations, a winter storm pummeled much of the central U.S. this day after Christmas. More from CBS's Tom Hansen.
In Kansas, an 86-year-old woman died when icy roads led to a collision. Three others were injured. Stretches of interstates in parts of Nebraska, North Dakota, and Colorado closed over the holiday as trucks jackknifed, blocking roadways.
The system is expected to drop rain as it travels east. With Christmas over, the holiday travel rush is back on. Miami International Airport spokesman Greg Chin.
Christmas and New Year's Eve travel time is the busiest for us for the whole year. So we expect a busy weekend this coming weekend and next week, even going into Three Kings Day when a lot of people travel from Latin America.
Police in San Antonio, Texas, believe they have found the bodies of two people who were reported missing over the holiday weekend. One of them was an 18-year-old who was pregnant, Police Chief William McManus.
We believe that it is the missing woman and her boyfriend, but we can't confirm that right now officially until the medical examiner takes a look at the bodies and makes that determination.
Savannah Soto and Matthew Guerra were last seen on Friday. Indiana State Police say a man is lucky to be alive after crashing into a creek near the city of Portage. Public Information Officer Sergeant Glenn Fifield says two local fishermen looking for possible fishing holes found the driver pinned inside his truck.
The individual is a male. He's in his late 20s. He was entrapped inside the vehicle. The Portage Fire Department, Burns Harbor Fire Department, they spent quite a bit of time extricating him from the vehicle.
The driver told the Good Samaritans he had been stuck in his truck for several days. Israel today again attacked refugee camps in Gaza. This as fears of a widening regional conflict continue to spread. CBS's Imtiaz Taieb reports from East Jerusalem.
In a video released by Israel's Air Force, a fighter jet shoots down what Israeli officials say was a drone fired from Yemen near its territory over the Red Sea, a sign of continued escalation with Iranian-backed Houthi rebels. It comes a day after Saeed Razi Mousavi, one of Iran's top advisors to its Revolutionary Guard in Syria, was reportedly killed in an Israeli airstrike in the Syrian capital Damascus on Monday, a killing Tehran vowed to avenge.
The Detroit Pistons set an NBA record for the longest losing streak in a season at 27 games, falling 118-112 to the Nets. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
It's the Bucks and the Nets tomorrow night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night at the Barclays Center. Yesterday, the Bucks dropped one to the Knicks, 129-122. The Bucks are now 3-3 overall on Christmas Day. College football, New Year's Day, the Badgers versus number 13th ranked LSU Tigers, Monday at 11 a.m. in the ReliaQuest Bowl, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Meanwhile, Luke Fickell asked how many recruits have committed to Wisconsin for next season.
You know, right now I think we got 22. high school kids, you know, and that's the way that which we want to do it. Now, as we understand that the world is changing and this college is evolving, that we have to be able to retain those guys every bit as much as we have to develop. But you got to get them in the door to start with.
NFL, it's the Packers and the Vikings on Sunday night. The Packers 7-8 with two games left to go.
Yeah, everything's at stake, and we're going into a great environment next week in Minnesota and against a really good football team, and this is what we prepare for.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to take us through the overnight. Light winds in upper 20s expected by daybreak. On Wednesday, a partly sunny sky, upper 30s. Wednesday night, a little light rain and snow, but by Thursday, it's gone. Partly sunny, lower 40s. It's 33 at our studios.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for tuning in to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt talks about the value of capitalism and the Colorado Supreme Court decision to remove Donald Trump from the primary ballot.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct, hour two of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. I want to talk about Joe Biden coming to Milwaukee, coming not too far from where I am broadcasting. President Biden came in, made an appearance, and he spoke at the Black Chamber of Commerce. He was introduced by the owner of a small business. This is called Hero Plumbing. He's the founder and owner of Hero Plumbing. This is a great small business, plumbing business that has removed lead from pipes and other kinds of hazardous pipes, excellent plumbers. There's a group in Milwaukee called the Grow Milwaukee Coalition. It's small business owners. It's now one of 22 finalists for Commerce Department allocation of funds. It's going to create jobs. It's also going to create clean water, clean pipes, in a lot of other areas as well. It's going to revitalize the 30th Street Industrial Corridor, connect the inner city to economic opportunity. You know, right after the Second World War, there's a great migration into Milwaukee of people from the South. And they worked in all of the great, absolutely great industries, A.O. Smith, Alice Chalmers, and all of it. I knew Ollie Thompson, great friend of mine. He was an African-American guy, came up from the South, and he had a long career at A.O. Smith. He was terrific, very active in the union. And we're going to put that all together here in Milwaukee again. We're going to put it all together. The share of Black households owning a business doubled under Joe Biden nationally. And new business applications are up in Milwaukee by 70%. Go to the lines. Larry Madison, thanks for calling. Larry, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, Matt, thanks for taking my call. I was just away from my radio for about a half hour, so I don't know if this got covered in the last segment. Colorado having Trump off the ballot for the primary. I have heard that Colorado may simply go around that by holding a caucus instead of a primary. However, I mean, if the 14th Amendment said that he is unfit to hold office, it really shouldn't matter how they try to pick him, does it?
Right. Yeah. No, we did cover a little bit, but I'm glad you raised it because I'm going to build on it a little bit. You're absolutely right. Republican Party in Colorado said we're going to circumvent that decision. We're going to hold a caucus if he's kept off the primary ballot on January 5th. Now, just one thing to keep in mind, guys, they held up their I think till January 7, I forget the exact date, but they held up the enforcement of their opinion. And I think that the time to get on the March 5th ballot is something like a day before that. So it may be that if the Supreme Court just lays in the weeds and doesn't do anything, this Colorado Supreme Court have to take further action to then throw them off the March 5th ballot. That said, Larry, I think you can rest easy, because let's say the U.S. Supreme Court upholds Colorado. Just let's say. Or let's say the U.S. Supreme Court says they're not going to take the case, which means that Colorado's decision is the dominant decision. Absolutely, they in caucus can say Trump's our guy. I mean, it's like you and I and five other people can get together in a coffee shop and go, you know, we belong to the Democracy Party, and we put up this guy. But you ain't going to get on the general election ballot. You're not going to get on the general election ballot. They can go down. They can come down to Milwaukee, which is where the convention is going to be, and cast their delegate votes, caucus selected, for Trump. And then the delegates, the Republican delegates this July, can say, okay, Trump's our guy. Let's say they do that. Well, he may be their guy, but he's not going to be on the ballot in Colorado unless the Supreme Court says he should. And that's the ball game, Larry. In other words, is he going to be on the ballot in November? This is an unusual thing that they're also striking him off in the primary. They can circumvent that, but they can't ultimately put him back on unless the Supreme Court says to. Now, the other thing is, some people have pointed out the obvious, that this is not a decision that somehow is directed to disadvantage Republicans. If he is not on the ballot in Colorado, presumably then for the primary, then either DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie will get the votes. And they're Republicans, and they're conservative Republicans. So some people say this is a way for the Republican Party to save itself. But no, you're absolutely right. That's what they said. But I don't think in the long run it's going to work. Biden, I saw Biden's speech. I don't know if anybody else did. I don't know if the national networks covered it. I watched it on Spectrum One. It was a terrific speech, you know. And as I think of Joe Biden, and I've known of him and I've been to events with him for a long time, this is exactly the right president at the right time for us to have. Just like Franklin Roosevelt was, John Kennedy was, getting us into a new modern era. I think Bill Clinton was in the 1990s, the Irish Peace Accords and a couple of other accords, and then Barack Obama, you know, getting us out of the 08 recession. So there comes a time when the right person has to appear, and he's appeared. Remember a couple of data points. Not only are new business applications up in Milwaukee by 70% under Biden, and not only is the share of Black households owning a business doubled under Biden nationwide, but we have the lowest unemployment since the end of the Vietnam War. Since the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. So that's what? That's 44 years. 44 years? No, that would be 34 years. 98% of the jobs that were created in the United States were created under the Democratic presidents. And those presidents, obviously, are Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. Bill Clinton and Barack Obama together created 34 million jobs in three short years, not even his whole full term. Joe Biden, 14 million. How many jobs was the 2% that were created during that time period by George H.W. Bush, 4 years, George W. Bush, 8 years, Donald Trump, 4 years, 1.9 million, 2%. And I'm going to say this again till I'm blue in the face. Guy goes, well, Matt, but, you know, they don't build factory. No, the private sector does, and there's some public employment. But the president sets the tone. The president can't control the economy. We're a capitalist economy with a safety net. We're enlightened capitalism. That's what we should be. I have absolutely no time for socialists and people like that who they don't like capitalism. That's baloney. You've got to give people incentives to make money, and it's good. I'd like to see people make money. I'd like to see him do it honestly, by the way, without securities fraud and tax fraud. But on the other hand, there is an enlightened aspect to our capitalism. It's a capitalism with a safety net. And when a Democratic president is in there, I don't care if it was Clinton, I don't care if it was Obama, I don't care if it's Biden, you know you're going to get a fair shake. You're not going to get cheated. You're not going to get stolen. Your money's stolen, your action's stolen. Get a fair shake, go out and work. If a Republican is in there, whether it's George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, or especially Trump, you know that there's a thumb on the scales. It's going to tip towards the most powerful and the wealthiest people. And I don't begrudge them their wealth. Listen, you know, people go, oh, you know, Bezos and Gates. Hey, look, they founded something. You know, the Google people, Microsoft. Yeah, they founded something. Good for them. That's exactly what we want. You know, Musk, Elon Musk. You know, he's crazier than a $3 bill, nuttier than a $3 bill. But the point of the matter is he created something. Can't take that away from him. But you want to make sure they follow the law. I like to see people make money. I like to see more people make money. And, you know, everybody goes in the African-American community. I like to see them make money. They should be able to make money. They've been discriminated against and treated badly for hundreds of years. Under a Democratic president, you'll get a fair shake. That's what produces jobs. But not, for instance, a tax cut that goes, oh, we're going to cut taxes, and about 89% of it is going to go to just a sliver of folks. That's not the way you do it. There should be tax cuts. Most people don't remember this. Back under Dwight Eisenhower in the late 50s, you know what the marginal rate, tax rate was, the highest rate? 90%, 90. I'm not kidding. Sweden at one time had 103%. So you made a buck over a certain amount, and they took it and a little bit of your other money. That's crazy. You know what Jack Kennedy did the minute he got in office? He said that was crazy. We got to cut taxes. He cut it to 70%. That was considered a big deal. Everybody said, oh, what are you, a corporate Democrat? Baloney. I want to see taxes lowered too, but I want to see them lowered equitably. In other words, everybody gets in on the action. See what I mean? So then it goes on, and under Reagan, and we fought back and forth, Bill Clinton. Right now it's around 39%, and you get much below. But then you have the Republicans. You have hedge fund operators do not pay income taxes. Said it before, I'm going to say it again. They don't. You go, what do you mean? Because they had their lobbyists go down and pound both sides of the aisle, and their income is named something different. It's named carried interest. And carried interest is taxed about the capital gains rates, not the income tax rate. In other words, about half of the income tax, a little less. Why is that? Because there is a thing called carried interest, and that's where lumber companies and maybe oil companies are taxed, because they take a lot of risk. They plant tons of acres of trees, and they don't get any return for years, 10 years, till the darn things grow. Oil companies will go out and they'll drill 100 holes, and maybe one or two of them are any good. They take a lot of risk. Hedge fund operators sit with a martini at their desk, take no risk at all. They get 40%, straight that, they get 2% of the action that they're under management if they do a bad job. This is the kind of baloney that we don't want to see. Okay, coming up soon, Tommy Tuberville. You think Tommy Tuberville was reined in? No, he was not reined in. Coming very quick.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt discusses Tommy Tuberville's continued blocking of civilian military appointments.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, you saw the news. Remember Tommy Tuberville? Since last February, 10 months, he's attacked our military, crippled our military right in the middle of two wars. He would not permit the promotion of officers in our armed services. All these people and their families were in limbo. They weren't getting paid the new rate for their promotion. A lot of them have kids in schools. One will go, well, I'm supposed to be a two-star admiral, and I'm going to be transferred to Newport, Rhode Island, but I'm with the fleet now in San Diego. Should I sell my house and bring my wife and kids to Newport? And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. When are they going to take their kids out of school? But more importantly, some of our biggest military commands had no commanding officer. How about the Pacific Fleet? How about the Pacific Air Command? Serious. How about the Cybersecurity Command? How about the North American Command, which protects us and Canada? How about that? So this clown went on, and the Republican Party started to stink. It was a cadaver. And people, and I talked to one admiral, a retired three-star admiral. I'm on the board of the Navy League of Milwaukee. We support the Navy. And I'm the judge advocate, it's called. That's just a fancy name for the guy that gives the legal advice to the board. And his admiral said to me, you know, look, I mean, people were saying to Tuberville, quote, we thought the Republican Party had our back, but now we know that you hate us. Well, the other Republicans don't have any integrity. I'm not saying they do, but they start to get a little nervous that you have this Alabama clown holding everything up, and they went to him and beat the heck out of him. So just the other day, yesterday, they approved, Schumer proposed the 11 final four-star flag officers to be promoted to four stars, and it was unanimous consent because Tuberville didn't get up on his hind legs and object this time. Because I think a couple of them took him to a conference room and said, look, Jack, knock it off. Because otherwise, they could have done it a long time ago by giving Schumer 9 votes to get to 60, and then that would have broken the filibuster. So everybody's going, what a relief. Maybe Tuberville learned his lesson. No, Tuberville did not learn his lesson. The lying skunk, here's what happened. He is holding up every civilian promotion and some appointments in the Defense Department, anything having to do with national security, about 40 of them. And these are people, they were civilians, but they're in defense and security, and they're the ones, they're experts. They're experts. They're expert. There'll be somebody who's an expert on Iran, on Iraq, on Egypt, on Saudi Arabia, on Turkey. All of this is absolutely essential. You know, military people follow the orders of the executive. They follow the orders of the commander-in-chief. The commander-in-chief is Joe Biden. Joe Biden has a Defense Department. He has a State Department. He has a National Security Agency. He has a CIA. The military people have to have good information. Their lives are on the line. The USS Kearney was in the Red Sea with a crew full of sailors and officers, and the Houthis in Yemen launched drones ostensibly at commercial vessels near them. But the word is it was at the Kearney, and the Kearney shot them down. Now, the reason why everybody said, oh, it's just the commercial vessels, because if a single missile that's paid for by Iran, which is the cauldron of hate that calls itself a country, hits an American ship and kills some sailors, we are going to have to bomb Iran. We're going to have to bomb Tehran, bomb their nuclear facilities, their Navy, their Air Force, their leadership. And that can lead to a much wider conflict. It could drag in China, which is an ally of Iran, Russia, which is an ally of Iran. So I am very glad that Joe Biden is our president, not Donald Trump, or Nikki Haley, or DeSantis, or any of these folks. But why is everybody saying, okay, now we'll go home for Christmas, he's only holding up 40 civilian appointments to some of the most sensitive ones in the world? You want somebody who is the expert on Yemen and on the Houthis. Some sailors' lives may depend on it. The draft-dodging chicken hawk Tuberville, white supremacist Confederate sympathizer Tuberville, whose business, he was investigated for securities fraud in his business, and he said, you know what his defense was, and they put it a little more artfully, but something like this: I'm too dumb to know securities laws. That's what basically it was. They let him off. And now all these Republican running dogs of his, Joni Ernst and all the rest of them, run around. They call him Coach. How's it going, Coach? Coach, do you think you maybe could cut loose a couple of admirals? I mean, some sailors in the Red Sea could get killed, Coach. Well, I'll think about it. I'll think about it. They finally went to him. 10 months later, while our people were in danger, are they going to him now and say, Coach, you suppose you could free up maybe the expert on Yemen? Yemen, what's that? Well, that would be a country. And he's probably an expert on the Houthis. Who are they? They are basically Shiite Republicans. Oh, no, I misspoke. They are Shiite. They're Shiites. They're allied with Iran, who are Shiites. The Houthis usually shoot missiles at Saudi Arabia, who are Sunnis. Well, that sounds pretty complicated to me. Well, yeah, it does. But now they're shooting missiles at American sailors on the USS Carney and other destroyers. And we just thought maybe somebody with a PhD in Middle Eastern affairs and can speak Arabic, maybe it would be a good idea to have him or her advising the fleet over there. Well, I sure think about it. What is this? What do you think Ulysses Grant would do? Because Tuberville, if Ulysses Grant had done that, swinging from a wadu tree, that's what would have happened to Tuberville under Ulysses Grant, Ulysses S. Grant. But this is the chicken hawks and buttercups in our Senate. They're all going to run for cover now and go, oh, we freed up the 11 admirals and generals. So we've done good. We've done good. Well, no, you haven't done good. You haven't done anything. I want those civilian appointments. Those civilian appointments. The Republican Party hates the United States. It hates America. They basically love their donors, and they are controlled by a fascist. That's what the Republican Party is. The Liz Cheneys, the Adam Kinzingers, who I have great admiration for, they're all gone. They've been thrown out by their own party. We've got to realize it. And somebody in that Senate has got to get off the dime and say, we want the civilian appointees. We want them promoted. We want them on task. We want them doing what they are supposed to do. That's what we want. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. Jack Smith got the Scott Perry documents, tell you about that. And also, the president of Harvard has now been found to have plagiarized over half of her production and 40 more documents at least. Coming up.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Kansas and other Plains states have been pummeled by a winter storm the past 2 days. KWCH-TV's Sean Logging.
I-70 west of Goodland was closed for a portion of Tuesday morning, and later in the afternoon, crews again lowering the barricades on that interstate.
You got to your Christmas destination, now it's time to get back, and you're going to have a lot of company, says CBS's Tom Hansen at LaGuardia Airport in New York.
TSA predicts this Friday, December 29th, and Monday, January 1st, will be the busiest days at airports in the U.S. as we round out the holiday rush.
Police in San Antonio, Texas, say they think they found the bodies of a pregnant 18-year-old and her boyfriend, Chief William McManus.
What we're looking at right now is a very, very perplexing crime scene. And detectives right now are looking at this as a possible murder. But we don't know for sure.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin are going down when the rest of the country is going up. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. The national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. Political observers say black voters in Milwaukee will be key to winning Wisconsin in the race for president next year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells WISN-TV's Up Front that's why President Biden was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee last week.
There's a reason why, of all places he could have gone, he chose the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. He's doing outreach to the African-American community.
The president has work to do to get his message across. The latest Marquette poll has Biden's job approval rating in Wisconsin at 42%. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies to take us through the overnight. Light winds in upper 20s expected by daybreak. On Wednesday, a partly sunny sky, upper 30s. Wednesday night, a little light rain and snow, but by Thursday, it's gone. Partly sunny, lower 40s. It's 33 at our studios.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. In this segment, Matt discusses Jack Smith and the classified documents case against Donald Trump, as well as gives his thoughts on Harvard President Claudine Gray.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Jack Smith won in court on appeal. Jack Smith. Appellate court ruled that he will have access to Scott Perry's cell phone. You recall, they got it. They did a search warrant. They got his cell phone. It was held up on appeals and courts up until now. Scott Perry argued that anything on his cell phone is covered by the speech and debate clause in the Constitution, which says that basically, if you're a member of Congress, you cannot be held liable, especially civilly, but criminally, for anything that you say or debate on the floor. So if you get up and you libel somebody on the floor of the House, he can't sue you for libel. Okay, I get it. However, it doesn't apply to criminal activity on your cell phone. You're not on the floor just because you're a congressman. You're not above the law. I don't know why it took him about a year and a half to figure that out, but apparently they finally figured it out. There are about 17, just under 1,700 documents on his cell phone. And remember that Scott Perry is the right-wing nut congressman from Pennsylvania, who was one of the plotters with Trump, was in the White House a lot, along with Jim Jordan, one of the guys who executed it, the plot. He also, by the way, is the one that asked Trump for a pardon. And you know, Trump, you'd think these people maybe lose their allegiance to Trump. All Trump had to do is pardon Giuliani and Perry, and they would have been, a world of hurt would have been taken away from him. I'm glad he didn't. It would have been wrong, but he's never done anything right in his life. But he doesn't even pardon these guys, and they're still sucking up to him. It's unbelievable. In any event, what's going to be on this cell phone? Well, I'll tell you what, any phone calls he made, any messages, any texts, any emails, and they'll also be able to put him with the timing of the call, the text, or the email at a certain time and place. Where was he? Was he in the White House during the insurrection, planning the insurrection? And you know something, if I were Scott Perry, I'd be very worried right now, because somebody, including Jack Smith, may have enough evidence in that cell phone to criminally charge him. So I'm very glad to see it. Stay tuned, stay tuned. Well, there's kind of a sad development. The president of Harvard University, Claudine Gay, who gave the disastrous testimony in front of the Congress, you know, asked if somebody committed anti-Semitic acts and said things, would that violate their policy? And she said, depends on the context. She was absolutely wouldn't. It just came out today. You know that not too long ago, she was accused of plagiarizing, including in her dissertation for a PhD, some of her published works. And when I say plagiarizing, I don't mean something light. She just would take other people's stuff and not put quotation marks on it or attribute it. Well, it just came out now that there are 40 more plagiarism charges that have been verified against her. The original ones were between 1993 and 2017 and included her dissertation. And occasionally what she would do is she'd put in a paragraph or two verbatim, but sometimes she'd put in a paragraph or two also verbatim, and then in the middle of it substitute one word that was a same meaning as the word that was in the original, you know, that kind of thing. She plagiarized about over 40% of the work that she put out. She plagiarized from two other professors of government at Harvard. I mean, for the love of Pete, for the love of Pete, without attribution, for the love of Pete. We knew up till now it was almost 20 times she did it, 20 different publications. Now there's 40 more, including two professors on her own faculty. Now, Harvard has an office of research integrity. And most experts looking at this said it's impossible for them to have reviewed all of these publications that she was charged with, and yet they immediately gave her a clean bill of health, essentially just to keep her in office. This has very serious consequences. It's not good for Harvard's reputation. Early admission applications to Harvard as a result of this dropped by 17%. And now Harvard is one of the hardest colleges to get into, and usually you're proud if you get into it. Some people now who applied for it, early admission, before all this stuff came out on Claudine Gay, have turned them down. And that's very rare. If you get early admission, it means you're in. And all you have to do is say thank you. And people don't want to go there, frankly, because of the rampant anti-Semitism. And here is what she did. Throughout her career, and now she is the child of parents who are from Haiti. And she was born in the United States, but she spent a lot of her girlhood in Saudi Arabia, where her father worked. And she absolutely was stone cold in that hearing, wooden, robotic-like. She doesn't give a darn about anti-Semitism. She spent her time, she was a dean, trying to expand faculty hires in what she called ethnicity, indigeneity, and migration. She was a dean of diversity, inclusion, and belonging. She orchestrated the removal of two Black professors, one of them who had published a fairly well-regarded work that said that police in general statistically are as likely to use deadly force on white people as Black people. Now, I don't agree 100% with his conclusion in the sense that some of the force that's used against Black people has gotten a lot more publicity and it's a lot crueler, but there's plenty of it to go around with police. In other words, he gave that context and she eased him out. And the other one was a guy who signed on to be on the defense team for somebody who was accused of sexual assault, and she squeezed him out too. She has essentially turned Harvard into not a research college, not even a good college, but kind of a identity politics college. And one of the sad things, and I see you on the lines, I'll get to you very quickly, but one of the sad things is that each side is misusing the term DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. The Republicans want to get rid of it entirely, but the sad fact is that Black enrollment at the UW system went from 2 to 3% as a result of all these DEI efforts, and Indigenous students the same. That's where the concentration should be. That's where the concentration should be. Not bringing in foreign students with a hatred for America, quite frankly, and the hatred for institutions who bully Jewish students. African-American students and indigent students mind their own business, indigenous students, I should say, and they should have a much higher representation. But people like Claudine Gay are not paying any attention at all to that kind of DEI. What they're paying attention to is bringing in, MIT right now is, I think, 30% foreign students, and many of them come from very anti-Semitic cultures who hate the United States, hate liberal democracy. At Harvard, they have a library, I think it's called the Widener Library. It's a big deal. And a Jewish kid really can't go in there because they'll be bullied. Jewish kids put up a menorah at Harvard and they were told they had to take it down every night. It would be vandalized. There's an Israeli student walking across from the business school and the crowd gets around him of Harvard people and a faculty member and shout at him and one of them hits him. This is tolerated by Claudine Gay. Right now, a lot of people withholding contributions to Harvard. I think ultimately the Harvard Board of Overseers, they call it the Harvard Corporation, I think, whatever they call it, that has controlled the university has been penetrated by this dogma too. So DEI on the left is just as exclusionary as Republicans in the sense that it attacks Jewish students, and that's got to stop, period, end of story. And you may have to rename them, but if they are going to stay, it's got to be, and they have to stay, it's to basically make sure that our universities are integrated with African-American students, Latino students, and indigenous students, American Indians. And that's it. And that's it. And I don't think there should be any more student visas giving or faculty visas given to people coming in from countries that are violently anti-Semitic, that attack Jews, and they just keep it up here. Bob of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Bob? Bob of Madison.
Yeah.
Say it again.
You there?
Yeah, go ahead, Bob. I can hear you.
Okay. I'm worried about the businesses and the Republicans. The Republicans over and over again seem to come up with one plan or another to sort of give money to businesses without accountability. They don't get the idea that they should have anything other than the right to become rich and buy back stock and do nothing good for America. That seems to be their way in taxes and regulation and paying the big tax credit for the oil companies and things and all these different breaks that they give to the businesses. They don't have accountability going with it. I mean, Kennedy, when he had the investment tax credit, he insisted that they invest the money and not just blanket give it and then have stock buybacks ruin any fiscal effect that might help all Americans in it. So I just think the corruption over and over again in the business, the Republicans' approach to business, just give them anything. It doesn't matter whether it does any good or not.
Right.
We'll just give it to them because we want them to get richer.
Good call. Very good call. And I think, look, the stock market, studies go back to 1925. It does better under Democratic presidents by and large. And employment, 98% of the jobs since 1989. Give me a break. You're absolutely right. Joe of Madison, my friend. You're next. What's on your mind today, Joe?
I was interested in reacting to what you had brought up previously in the first hour, which was looking at this case out of the Colorado Supreme Court. And in that last hour, one of your callers from McFarland, Tom from McFarland, said about Trump, said it was his actions that put him there. And I thought it was such a really good, simple way of saying things. It's the way he's behaved that has gotten him to where he is. He is responsible in the way that anybody is responsible for their actions. And I would bring up one more point, which is that in terms of did he participate in this insurrection or not, the language that was used by this guy, you have to fight like hell to take back our country. What does that say? That is absolutely antithetical to the idea of a peaceful transfer of power. He, previous to the January 6th, he said, it'll be wild. We're going to march on the Capitol and specifically talked about impeding Congress from doing their job. That's insurrection. That's the leader of the insurrection putting down the parameters about how it is to be done. Did he stand there with a can of bear spray? No, but he told the protesters to go do it, and thus it was his actions that put him in this place. I don't know what's going to happen when the Supreme Court gets a hold of this, but I applaud the Colorado Supreme Court and the people, and apparently it was Republicans who first brought this suit up through to, that finally ended up at the Colorado Supreme Court to say, come on now, you know, you cannot be president when you've been involved in leading an insurrection. And the Colorado Supreme Court laid out the details that said he did. So thanks for the opportunity to return to this subject. Right. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joe. Excellent call. And I will leave you with a quotation from Professor Snyder of Yale, who said, the prosecution of Trump is not a violation of his constitutional rights. It's a ratification of his constitutional rights. Because in any other country in the world, a violent insurrection would not end in a trial. So there you have it. Okay, we're stepping away. We're coming back quite quickly. And it's very fortunate you raised the issue of peaceful transition of power. You will not believe what Trump just doubled down on in Iowa just now.
For me and you. Believe me, baby. I know it, baby. You know it, too.
93.5 The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Flynn Direct. Matt ends the hour discussing the dangers of a second Donald Trump presidency.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Madison just raised the issue of peaceful transition of power. And it's good she did, because I will tell you what Trump has doubled down on. And I'm talking about, I saw these videos just now, early before the show. First of all, remember the blood damage, they poisoned the blood, that thing? Trump doubled down on that just in Iowa just now. He says they're destroying the blood of our country, before he said poisoning the blood. And then he claimed that he never read Mein Kampf again, even though Ivana Trump said that he kept Hitler's speeches next in a cabinet next to his bed. But Maggie Haberman, one of the New York Times supporters, reporters, said that Trump had told another reporter that a friend of his gave him a copy of Mein Kampf. I don't care if he's lying about Mein Kampf or not. Hitler's speeches are the sentiments that are in Mein Kampf, and he had them, and he read them in bed, which is kind of a weird deal there, very weird thing. He also just melted down again in an unhinged rant over the New York case Letitia James brought, and he shouts again, the racist attorney general and the runaway judge are causing grave damage. I am not allowed a trial. Hey, he was allowed a trial. He has a right to trial by jury under the Seventh Amendment. He waived the trial because tactically they thought that his sneaky sort of, I don't know, their technical defenses would float by a judge better than a jury who would see through him in a minute. He waived the trial. Do not let anybody tell you that they denied him a trial. And the final thing he did, they asked him at a press conference just now, will you commit to the peaceful transition of power, whoever wins? And here's what he said. I saw him say it. Quote, that depends. If you get rid of the ballots, have to see what happens. The ballots are a disaster. And it would not be a transfer. It would be a continuation. Now, that is chilling. The ballots are the problem. The vote is the problem. It depends on whether I'll commit to a peaceful transition of power, he says. It depends if you get rid of the ballots. Hey, we have a right to vote. We have a right to vote. He is saying right there, I mean, he says, you know, I'll be a dictator for a day. 56% of the people in the polls around the country think that he would be a dictator. He would be a dictator. We're going to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend. Thanks for calling, John. What's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. I was just wanting to go back a little bit in history. Back in the 60s, do you remember them?
I was in high school and college in the 60s and in the Navy at the end of college, so I absolutely remember it very, very well.
Okay. That's our current history, and because I'm a baby boomer, I grew up in the 60s too. But in 1965, a Japanese architect by name of Yamasaki, he submitted a plan for the New York's World Trade Centers. So I'm looking at a picture right now showing the two twin towers standing in a model form with a little bit of smoke behind them where the planes hit. This is the God's truth. He put smoke in the back of a model picture. So this was a picture of 1965. I can see smoke in the back of the South Tower and the North Tower, like running on a diagonal. This is a fact.
Okay, well, John, the guy didn't know in 1965 what was going to happen in 2001, right? I mean, you know, so, I mean, yeah, I don't know what you're referring to. I do know that when the towers went up, it was a significant accomplishment. And when they were taken down, people discount the damage to this country that's done by 9/11. Everybody goes around every year and goes, you know, well, it's a tragedy. And this, it wasn't a tragedy. It was an act of jihad against this country is what it was. And it's kept up ever since. You know, you had the Boston Marathon, you had Orlando, San Bernardino, Fort Hood, Chattanooga, Chelsea, Ohio State, the Manhattan Bike Path murders. We have got to do a far better job of controlling who comes into the country. And right now, with student visas and with faculty visas, we have people in our faculties and our student bodies who are gathering together and bullying Jewish students. They're our fellow Americans, and they're not trying to confine it to that, but they're starting doing that. That's got to change. And this clown at Harvard, Claudine Gay, has got to be fired. I mean, she's not even a competent college president, certainly not of Harvard, when she's plagiarized some of the stuff that she could get her hands on. But thanks for calling. Yeah, this business of somebody predicting it in 1965, I don't buy it, John. You know, I mean, you don't buy it either. But, you know, I don't know if there was a smudge on the picture or whatever. But I remember when it was first architected and was going up, it was a very big deal. And we were very proud of it. And then they got knocked down and they killed almost 3,000 people. We can never, ever, ever let that happen again. You know, speaking of Trump, we go back to him, Donald Trump. This guy, when I say that he has early onset dementia, I mean it. And what happened in Iowa, he gives a speech and he had a problem. The problem was that in 2020, he said there'd be a stock market crash under Joe Biden. And just the other day, it kept setting records. The latest record is 37,500. So it's going through the roof. So here's what he says. He starts out by saying, if Joe Biden is reelected president in 2024, there will be the stock market crash like you've never seen. But then he kind of realizes that, no, wait a minute. And he goes, and right now it's going through the roof. And you want to know why it's going through the roof? This is what he says. It's the fumes, F-U-M-E-S, the fumes of what my success when I was president. You know, he's one of the three Republican presidents who in the aggregate produced 2% of the jobs since 1989. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show. Stand by for more news and weather. Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crook. It's a great show. Great caller as always. Matt Flynn direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. No.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7. Save that trouble for another day.
on 93.5 The Tap.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.